بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. For the last 3 weeks we've been going over the life of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Briefly I'll mention a couple of the virtues which I mentioned last week and then we'll move on inshallah, and that will give everybody time to settle down. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were in the cave, the narrations mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very thirsty, and he asked the Messenger of Allah, "I'm thirsty." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Go to the mouth of the cave and you will find some water there." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the mouth of the cave and there was a stream running there which wasn't there before, and he began to drink the water, and the narrations mention that it was sweeter than honey, it was whiter than milk, and it was, and its fragrance was nicer than musk itself. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu returned into the cave, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O glad tidings, Abu Bakr, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel which looks after the streams in Jannatul Firdaus for you to have water." And he made a stream flow outside the cave. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "O Messenger of Allah, is this my status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "I swear by He who has sent me with the truth that your status is even greater than this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is even greater than this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So in the last talk we finished off at the demise of the Prophet ﷺ. And I mentioned a narration in the last talk what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said that if the entire actions of my life could be substituted for one day and one night in the life of Umar ibn Khattab, I would substitute the entire actions of my life for one day and one night in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And that night I mentioned last time was the night which he spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave. And that day was the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. The narrations mention that all the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in were confused, because this was the greatest calamity which could befall anybody. And this is no exaggeration. This is why the Salaf say that if you are ever afflicted with a calamity, then remember the calamity which befell the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in upon the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because nobody has ever had such a calamity. Because the reality is that the likes of me and you cannot really understand the love that the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Umar ibn Khattab says that if the entire actions of my life, and who was Umar? Umar was the second Khalif. He was the man regarding who the Prophet ﷺ said that if a prophet was to come after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab. He was the man regarding who the Prophet ﷺ said, if Umar walks down one street, Shaitan can never walk down that street. He scarpers. This was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he is saying that for one day and one night in the life of Abu Bakr, I would give all my actions. All my actions. So upon the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, there is a narration which literally all historians mention. And that is that after the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, the Ansar became very concerned that they wouldn't attain the same respect that they attained in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And they gathered in a place called Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. It was a large hall, and all the Ansar gathered there under the patronage of a Sahabi called Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And because they were concerned that the Prophet ﷺ gave them immense amount of respect, that now with the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, they would not attain the same amount of respect. And Sa'd was the leader of Khazraj. The Mushrikeen of Medina had two main tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj. And these were initially two brothers. And then a dispute broke out between them, and the narrations mention that for over 500 years they fought with each other. For 500 years their families fought with each other, and then the Prophet ﷺ came and he gave them dawah towards Islam, and they embraced Islam, and then they became brothers again, brothers in iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalled this in the Quran. He said, "Wadhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum idh kuntum a'da'an fa'allafa bayna qulubikum fa'asbahtum bi ni'mati ikhwana." He said, "Remember the favor of your Lord upon you when he brought your hearts together, that you were enemies, and Allah brought your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَةِ إِخْوَانَ, and with the favor of Allah, you became brothers. You became brothers. Now the Aus and the Khazraj were now concerned, who were the Ansar, were concerned that with the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, they would no longer gain the same respect which they attained in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So they gathered in this hall, and Sa'd ibn Ubadah began to give his talk. He said, "Oh, people of Ansar, know that you gave the Prophet ﷺ refuge when his own people rejected him. And you fought with your swords when nobody else was ready to fight alongside him. And you were the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ left this dunya and he was pleased with you." And this was no exaggeration. The Ansar were the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ. The narration mentioned that upon occasion some wealth came from Hawazin, and the Prophet ﷺ began to distribute it to the Sahaba, to the people of Quraysh, to the Muhajireen, because the Muhajireen had left their families and their houses. They had nothing. And some of the Ansar who had newly embraced Islam, they said, "May Allah have mercy upon the Messenger of Allah. He's giving everything to his own people, and our swords are still dripping with the blood." And this news reached the Prophet ﷺ, and he gathered the Ansar. And he said, "Ansar, what is this news that which has reached me?" And the leaders of the Ansar said, "O Messenger of Allah, the leaders did not say this, and nor did the old Sahaba, but those who have newly embraced Islam, some of them said these words." And the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, "O Ansar, are you not happy with the fact that the other people will go with the wealth and you will go back home with the Messenger of Allah?" And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If the entirety of humanity walked down one valley and the Ansar walk down the other valley, I would walk down the valley of Ansar." And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If it was not for the Hijrah, I would have been a man from the Ansar." So this is how the Prophet ﷺ viewed the Ansar, and they knew this because he was the coolest of their eyes. But now they were concerned that they wouldn't attain the same respect that they attained in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the reality is that as long as the Prophet ﷺ lived, he was a protection for this ummah. Imam Muslim has related in the Sahih that the Prophet ﷺ said that the stars are a protection for the earth. And when the skies disappear, then what Allah has promised to the earth will fall upon it. Meaning, as long as the stars are there, the day of Qiyamah will not come. And when the stars disappear, then the day of Qiyamah will come upon this earth. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "I am a protection for my Sahaba. And as long as I am amongst them, they will be protected. And when I leave this dunya, then that which Allah has promised unto them will befall them." Meaning the trials and the tribulations, the fitnas. And this is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that no sooner have we buried the blessed body of the Prophet ﷺ, the state of our hearts changed. We placed the body of the Prophet ﷺ in his grave and the hearts changed. And then listen to this, then the Prophet ﷺ said that the Sahaba are amanatun li ummati. They are a source of protection for my ummah. As long as the Sahaba remain amongst my ummah, they will be protected. And when the Sahaba go, then that which Allah has promised unto my ummah, the fitna, the trials and the tribulation, that will befall them. And this is why we find ourselves in this current situation. And really, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said that if the latter part of this ummah want to rectify themselves, they will have to go upon the methodology and the manhaj of the early salaf, of the early Sahaba radhwanullahi ajma'in. That you can't find your success in something else. If you want your state to be rectified, then you will have to follow the manhaj of the Sahaba radhwanullahi ajma'in. And so the Ansar had a great status by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were concerned that they would no longer attain this status by the Quraysh. And Umar and Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu were informed regarding this gathering, and they hurried to the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, and on the way they met Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu was that Sahabi who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed Jannah, and he said that every ummah has an Amin, has a trustworthy person, and the Amin of my ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Said he is the Amin of my ummah. And they reached the gathering, and the Ansar were discussing that the next Khalif should be Sa'd ibn Ubadah. And if the Quraysh don't agree, then let there be one from them and one from amongst us. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu mentioned that I was going and I was rehearsing a talk which I would give when I reached there, which would create the platform for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the next Khalif. And he said, when we reached the gathering, I was just about to talk, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Umar, remain silent. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to speak, and in a nutshell, he said, O Ansar, whatever you have said is the truth. About yourself, whatever you have said is the truth. You were the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But understand that the Arabs will not accept any leader unless he's from the Quraysh. Because one, the Quraysh were the clan of the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and secondly, that the Quraysh, even before Islam, were regarded as the leaders of the Arabs. And he said, therefore, I have brought you two men, Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Give bayah to any one of these. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that everything I had rehearsed, Abu Bakr said everything. And he had said it in a far more eloquent manner than I could say it. And I loved this speech, besides the fact when he said that take Umar ibn Khattab as your Khalifa. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, which shows the respect that Umar radiallahu anhu had for Abu Bakr, he says that I swear by Allah, it would be easier that my head be removed from my body than that I be in charge of a group of people in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is. That my head be removed from my body is easier for me than that I lead a group of people in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is. And then the Ansar stood up and they said, O Muhajireen, know that we are not jealous of you and that you are the most honorable people in our eyes. But the concern is that you will not give us the same respect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. And then Khubab ibn Munzir radiallahu anhu, who was Ansari, he stood up and he said, O Ansar, remain steadfast. Make sure the Khalifa is from you. And if they insist that there must be a Khalifa from them, then know that there should be two Khalifas, one from us and one from them. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that there cannot be two swords in one sheath. And then Khubab ibn Munzir radiallahu anhu, he said that if you do not accept this, then we will kick you out. We will throw you out of Medina. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu said, he said, O Ansar, you were the first people to assist the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now don't be the first people to change. Don't be the first people to change. And then Ansari called Bashir ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, O people of Ansar, we assisted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for what? So we could become close to Allah and His Rasul. Not for any reward in this dunya. Our reward is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason we assisted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we could obey Allah and His Rasul. We could follow Allah and His Rasul. This is the only reason. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he quickly took the opportunity and he thrust his hands forward to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he said, Abu Bakr, he said, I give bayah to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu pulled his hands back. And he said, Umar, you be the Khalif. See, this shows that these people want after status. These people want after status, and understand this. Status only comes with responsibility. You know, many people, they want status. They want responsibility. They want to be the Amir. They want to be in charge of things. But understand, the more status you have on the day of judgment, the more you will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not a place of honor. Status is not a place of honor, it is a place of accountability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the more status you have, the more Allah will ask you on the day of judgment. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, you Umar, you be the Khalif. And then Bashir ibn Sa'd, who was the Ansari, he ran forward and he thrust his hands out to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he gave bayah, and then everybody gave bayah to him. Now this is a very famous narration which literally all the historians mention. It's known as the Qisatu Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. But however, here we must clarify something. See, the historians had a different approach to the muhaddithin, to the hadith scholars. What the historians would do is that they would bring all the narrations, and this is why if you read the history books like Ibn Asakir, Tabari, Al-Bidayah, Wa Nihaya, you will see that they have certain narrations which are totally contrary to each other. Totally contrary. See, their style was that they would amass all the narrations and then they, with the chain of transmission, and then they would leave it to the scholars to dissect the chain of transmission and say, this is sahih, this is za'if, this is mawdu. This was their approach. How, on the other hand, the hadith scholars were different. Because the hadith had to do with ibadah, had to do with your iman, had to do with your aqidah, they were very scrupulous compared to the historians. And this is why, if you look into the chain of transmission of this narration of the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, you will see that there are two narrators in here. One is called Hisham ibn Muhammad, and Imam Zahabi in Mizan al-Itidal mentions that according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, this guy was a storyteller. He liked to tell a bit for Jackanory. He would make up things. And Imam Dharuqutni rahmatullah alayhi says he's Matruk. And Ibn Asakir says he was a Shia. And he relates from his teacher, Abu Mihnaf, and Abu Mihnaf, according to everybody, was a Shia. He was a Shia. So you understand that if you look into the chain of transmission, this gives credence to the Shia point of view. That the Sahaba wanted status, that Khubab ibn Munzir radiallahu anhu is saying that if you do not agree with us, we will boot you out of Medina. Imam Zahabi in Mizan al-Itidal mentions another narration which is stronger than this narration, and that is that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reached the gathering, he said to Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he said, "Oh Sa'd, you were there when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that leadership will remain in the Quraysh, and the good from the Ansar will follow the good from the Quraysh, and the bad from the Ansar will follow the bad from the Quraysh." And Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu said, "Indeed, I was there and I remember this narration." And he said, "Antumul umara wa nahnu al-wuzara." He said, "You are the leaders and we are your aides." So this is a more authentic narration than the other narration. And really, because this, it shows that the Sahaba, all they were concerned were about was status. That they wanted to be the Khalifas. And these were the same Sahaba when the Muhajireen came to Medina. They were ready to give half of their businesses. They were ready to divorce their wives for their Muslim brothers. And now what they're saying, "We're going to boot you out of Medina." And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the masjid. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave his inaugural speech. And he stood on the pulpit and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, "Qad walitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum." He said, "I have been made in charge of you, but I am not from the best from amongst you." He said, "I am be made in charge of you, but the reality is that I am not the best from you." The reality was that there was no doubt that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best from amongst them. But this is humility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first man to embrace Islam. He was the first da'i. He was the first khatib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He is the best man after the anbiya to walk on the face of this earth." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "After the anbiya, he is the best man upon whom the sun has risen." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is the best companion in this dunya and in the hereafter. And Ali radiallahu anhu said that whenever Allah wants good for a group of people, he gathers them behind the best from amongst them. And Allah gathered us behind the best from amongst them, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And another narration, Ali radiallahu anhu mentions, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Abu Bakr to be the leader in our deen, meaning that he made him lead their salah, and we chose him to be our leader in our dunya, meaning the Khalifa. We made him the Khalifa. And upon occasion, a man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Oh Umar, you are the best man I've ever seen." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Did you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" And he said, "No." He said, "If you had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you had said this, I would have removed your head from your body." And then he asked him, "Did you see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu?" And he said, "No." And he said, "If you had seen Abu Bakr and you had said to me that you are the best person that I have seen, I would have beaten you up." All the Sahaba knew that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best from amongst them. But this was humility by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is how a mu'min should be, that in his own eyes he regards himself as the lowest. And this is why the Prophet, and if he regards himself low, then I swear by Allah, Allah will lift his status. Allah will take it upon him to elevate his status. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tawaza'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah." He said, "Whoever is humble for the sake of Allah, then Allah will take it upon him to raise his status. And whoever haughty, Whoever thinks he's something special because he's deluded by his M3 or his X5 or his big house or the boys that he has around with him or his muscles or anything else which deludes him or his bank balance, then by Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will abase him, Allah will bring him down. And this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's telling, I have been made the Khalifa upon you, but I am not the best from amongst you. Then he said, In ahsantu fa'inuni wa in asa'tu faqawwimuni. He said, if I'm good, if I do good, then assist me. And if I do evil, then straighten me out. Subhanallah, which leader says this? Which leader says that if I do anything wrong, then straighten me out? Leaders say, if they do something wrong, they lie through the skin of their teeth. They put a spin on it. But see, people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew that if he was not straightened out in this dunya, then on the day of judgment, Allah would straighten him out. And these were people who had the belief that they would return to Allah, and every single action that they did, Allah will ask them about it. And therefore, he knew that humiliation in this world was easier than humiliation in front of Ahkam al-Hakimeen. It was easier than in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why upon occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was having a very important meeting with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he told the doorkeeper, don't allow anybody to come into the room. And a man forcefully came in. And Abu Bakr, as I mentioned last week, he had a bit of a temper. And he picked up his whip and he whipped him. And then he felt bad and he gave him the whip. He's the Khalifa. He said, whip me back. Straighten me out. I've made a mistake. Straighten me out. And Umar said, what are you doing, Abu Bakr? If he whips you back, then every time a leader makes a mistake, the subjects will say, we want to whip him. This is going to become a sunnah. But this is what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was scared of. He was scared that on the day of judgment, that person will take revenge. In asatu faqawwimuni, if I make a mistake, then straighten me out. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, who was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Let me tell you who Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was. He was the Khalifa of the Muslims. He was the most powerful man on the face of this earth. His kingdom, his Khilafah span from China to the depths of Europe, from the Caucasus and Central Asia to the depths of Africa. And he had hired a man whose sole duty it was that when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh would go against the laws of Allah and his Rasul, this man would grab his garment and he would say, Ya Umar, ittaqillah innaka satamut. Oh Umar, fear Allah, for a day will come that you will die and you will have to stand in front of your Lord. And therefore understand, my dear respected brothers, that with responsibility, with status, responsibility comes. You want to be a father and you don't want to look after your children. You don't want to do tarbiyah of your children. It doesn't work like that. This is your responsibility. You want to be an elder brother. You have a responsibility to your younger brothers. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'yatihi. Every man is a shepherd and every man will be asked regarding his flock. Every man will be asked regarding his wife, his daughter, his son, his children. He will be asked regarding them. And therefore, with status comes responsibility. And this is what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying. If I do good, then assist me. And if I do bad, then straighten me. As-sidqu amana wal-kithbul khiyana. And then he said, as-sidqu amana. He said, the truth is a trust and lies are a deception. And really, this formulates the basis of an Islamic government, the fundamental basis. That if you are given responsibility, if you are a khalif, if you are prime minister, if you are president, then it is your responsibility to be truthful to your subjects. Because this is amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, today, politics is synonymous with lies. The first thing you think about politician, you think liar, spin, deception. This is what you think about politicians today. And look at the Islamic guidelines. You know, in the Islamic state, you wouldn't have the dodgy dossier. There would be no such thing as a dodgy dossier, because in reality, the Khalif would be know that he's responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he cannot lie to his subjects. But the reality is today in Muslim countries, the leaders don't lie because they don't need to lie. Because all the opposition is either in jail or in exile. So there's no need for them to lie. So you can guarantee Husni Mubarak will come in again with 97%. Without a shadow of doubt. 97%, because he has no opposition. All the Ikhwan are in jail. But this is the state. This is the state of the Muslims. And look how far we're removed from our own. He's saying a sidqu amana. He's saying if anybody gives you status, if you're an amir, if you're a khalif, then you have to speak the truth. Well, kizbul khiyana, and to lie is deception. And you look at the, Allah, you look at the Muslim country, the most worst form of politics that you can get are in Muslim countries. The worst form of politics. And all that garbage we've brought with us here as well. Wallahi, it doesn't make me feel happy to say this, but you look at the most corrupt politicians in England. Half of them been done recently. This is the state of the Muslims. Because we don't have an ummatic concern. We don't have a concern for the ummah. And this is the reality. We are all self-centered. And the same greedy politics of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Middle East have all come here. And therefore we will give our votes unequivocally to a man as long as he does our visas and he gives us permission for our drives. The largest constituency, look at this, the largest constituency in the whole of Britain is Muslim constituency, is Sparkbrook and Spark Hill. And who wins in Sparkbrook and Spark Hill? A man who bombed, who sided, who was directly responsible for the murder of thousands of Muslim men, women and children in Iraq. And people gave him his votes. Wallahi, what will you do on the Day of Judgment when those children who died before they even knew that they were Iraqis will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You gave it because it was your brother, he gave it. You gave it because your visas will be done. What will you do on the Day of Judgment? What will you do on the Day of Judgment when a mother will come with its child who was bombed, who was killed, and you gave votes because they said because your elders and your rajas and your brothers wanted to give votes? What kind of people are you? Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Allah says these are your brothers and your sisters. And you can give votes to a man so your visas can be done, so you can keep your brothers happy. The largest Muslim constituency in the whole of Britain gives votes to a man who supported the massacre of Muslim women and children. And these are meant to be my and your Muslim brothers and sisters. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the truth is amana and the lies are a deception. And then he said, those who are weak from amongst you are strong by me until I give them their haq back. And those who are strong in my eyes are weak until I take their haq and give it back to those who are poor. And really this shows the fundamentals of fairness in Islamic society, in Islamic government. That everybody is equal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men, women, children are all equal. It doesn't matter where you come from, what brotherhood you belong to, how many boys you have. You can be the biggest firm in town, but in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul, in the eyes of the Islamic government, you will all be equal. There will be no exception. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a woman who stole, and she belonged to one of the honorable tribes from the Quraysh. The honorable tribes from the Quraysh, and they went to the Prophet and they said, is her hand going to be cut? She belongs to the Bani Makhzum. And they sent a Sahabi who was known as the beloved of the Prophet ﷺ, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. And he went to intercede on her behalf, and the Prophet ﷺ became enraged. And he said, Usama, are you interceding in one of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you interceding regarding one of the hads from the hududillah? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi law saraqat Fatima bintu Muhammad laqata'tu yadaha. He said, I swear by Allah, if my own daughter Fatima stole, I would cut her hand off. I would cut her hand off. If my own daughter Fatima stole, I would cut her hand off. And this is what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying. He's saying that those who may be weak In my eyes, they are the strong ones. And they will get justice. They will get the haq. And those who are weak, you may regard as weak. You may regard as strong, are weak by me, until I take their right and give it to those who are wrong. And really, you look at the Muslim world today, you even look at those countries which are regarded as Islamic states, how they oppress the poor people. You look at the biggest supplier of oil in the world, and it's still a third world country. Still a third world country. If you go outside Makkah and Medina and you go to the hills and you look at the Burmese society, you will not believe. Seriously, their poverty is greater than the poverty in India and Pakistan. And this is no exaggeration. There's no even any electricity there. You cannot believe. This is the greatest supply of oil in the world and it's still a third world country. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, there is no qawm that leaves jihad, but Allah disgraces them. That people who forget their responsibility to humanity, people who forget the oppression, then Allah sends the dhilla upon them. Allah disgraces them. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that there is no nation in which fahsh, which lewdness, which immorality becomes rampant, that Allah embroils them in trials and tribulations. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he said, obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Rasul. And when I stop obeying Allah and His Rasul, then there is no need for you to obey me. SubhanAllah, which leader says this? Which leader says this? That obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Rasul. And the day I stop obeying Allah and His Rasul, then there is no need for you to obey me. See, people who are conscious of the fact that they are going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will ask them regarding every moment of their life. And this is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying that if I stop obeying Allah and His Rasul because I am the Khalifa, I am the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah, then there is no need for you to obey me. And this was the inaugural speech of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If you time it, it takes about 30 seconds. Without my elaboration on my tashri' on it, it takes about 30 seconds. That's all Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said. And then he said, stand up for the salah. One of the final commands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to send the army of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And what happened is that the army of Osama bin Zayd was going to face the Romans. And they were at the outskirts of Medina, and the news reached that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. And Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was known, as I mentioned, as the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was in charge of this army, and he was only in some narrations 17 years old, in some narrations 18 years old. That's all he was. That was the age of Osama bin Zayd, 17 in some narrations, and in some narrations 18 years old. And this shows two lessons from this. One, that Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he was brought up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did his tarbiyah, and he became ready by the age of 18 to lead a huge army in which all the eminent sahaba were. This was true tarbiyah. And the second was that Osama bin Zayd was black. And in those days, generally the slaves were black, and they frowned upon slaves. And so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to show, although he may be black, but in the eyes of Allah, Allah judges you by your taqwa and by your ability. By your taqwa and your ability. And Osama bin Zayd, by the age of 18, he was in charge of an army in which the most eminent of Sahaba radhiallahu ajma'in were. Those people who were the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. And these were the two lessons which we learn from the army of Osama bin Zayd radhiallahu anhu. And the army of Osama bin Zayd reached the outskirts of Medina, and the news came that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And what happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away was that literally the entire Arab peninsula rebelled, besides three places, Taif, Makkah and Medina. All of them rebelled. Some became murtad, some said that they wouldn't give their zakat anymore, and some said that we do not acknowledge Medina as the Darul Khilafah. And two tribes, Abs and Zibyan, actually decided to take Medina. And they were only 4 days away from Medina. Because they knew whoever took Medina would be in charge of the Muslims. And all this was going on, and the army of Osama bin Zayd had all the most eminent Sahaba. And the Sahaba came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they said, Umar, go and speak to Abu Bakr, that not to dispatch this army. For all the Sahaba, all the warriors are in this army. And Umar radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, Abu Bakr, you see all the frenzy around us. People are ready to just attack Medina. Do not dispatch the army of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Oh Umar, do you want me to withhold an army which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared himself? And then he said, I swear by Allah, if I knew that the lions would drag my body out of Medina if I dispatched the army of Osama bin Zayd, I would still send it. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, some of the Ansar are saying, Osama is young, he's only 17 years old. Make another general. And the narrations mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting on the floor and he jumped up and he grabbed the beard of Umar ibn Khattab and he said, may your mother lose you, Umar. Do you want me to demote a man which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself made a general? And the narration mentioned that Umar ibn Khattab, he placed his head down because he knew the virtues and the status that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said some harsh words to Umar ibn Khattab. And then Abu Bakr felt sorry. He felt bad. And he said, Umar, reply to me. And Umar radiallahu anhu refused to reply. He said, may Allah forgive you. May Allah have mercy upon you. And Abu Bakr said, reply. And Umar radiallahu anhu refused to reply. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was midday and he was dragging his cloth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it must be a very important matter for him to come at this moment. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I said some harsh words to Umar ibn Khattab. And I wanted him to reply, but he wouldn't reply. He refused to reply. And then meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu felt bad and he went to the house of Abu Bakr and he found that he wasn't there. And he went into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the narrations mention that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Umar ibn Khattab, his face began to change. He became so angry that his color began to change. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, seeing this, he fell to his knees and he said, Oh Messenger of Allah, it wasn't him who transgressed, it was me. It was me who insulted him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, there was a time that I came with the message and you said kadhabt. You said that you have lied. And Abu Bakr said sadaqt. And Abu Bakr said, O Messenger of Allah, you have spoken the truth. There was a time that all of you shunned me and Abu Bakr gave his wealth and he protected me. And now are you going to leave my companion? Today are you going to shun my companion? In another narration, a group of people came and amongst them was an eminent Sahaba and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said some harsh words to them. And then Abu Bakr felt bad and he said, reply to me. And they said, no, we won't reply to you. May Allah have mercy upon you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, reply to me. If you do not reply to me, I will tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the people who had newly embraced Islam, they said, what a funny character. What a fun. May Allah have mercy upon Abu Bakr. He insults us and then he's going to complain to the Messenger of Allah. And the Sahabi who was standing there, the eminent Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he said, do you know who this is? He said, this is Abu Bakr. If Abu Bakr gets angry, the Messenger of Allah gets angry. And if the Messenger of Allah gets angry, Allah gets angry. So in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he left the gathering and they asked him, what happened, Umar? And Umar said, may all your mothers lose you as well. May all your mothers lose you. For Abu Bakr became very angry. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came out. And he walked with Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And Osama bin Zayd was riding, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was walking. And Osama was only 17 years old. And Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu said, he said, O Khalifa of the Messenger, either you ride or I descend. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I swear by Allah, you will not descend, nor will I ride. For what is wrong with me walking in the path of Allah and getting some dust on my feet? What is wrong with this? For a man who takes one step in the path of Allah, Allah forgives 700 sins. 700 sins. And Allah elevates his station by 700 stages. And this was the humility of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Upon an occasion, they mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was a khalifa at the time, and he was riding his mount, and his stick fell down. And he made his camel sit down, and he picked it up himself, and then he mounted the camel, and his students were around him, and they said, "Oh, Khalifa of the Messenger, why didn't you tell us? We would have picked it up for you." And he said, "The Messenger of Allah upon occasion told me," he said, "Abu Bakr, never ask anybody for anything." And he said, "After that day, I have never asked anybody for any assistance." After this was the love that they had for the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he went to the army of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and he gave some advices, really, and these advices are very pertinent today. He said, لا تخونوا. He said, do not be deceptive. ولا تغلوا. And do not take from the spoils of beauty unduly. ولا تغدروا. And do not be treacherous. ولا تمثلوا. And do not mutilate bodies. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا تِفْلًا صَغِيرًا وَلَا شَيْخًا قَبِيرًا وَلَا امْرَأَةً. And then he said, do not kill children. Do not kill old people. And do not kill women. وَلَا تُوْقِرُوا نَقْلًا وَلَا تُخْرِقُوهُ. And he said, do not uproot trees. Do not uproot the date trees and do not burn them. وَلَا تَقْطَعُوا شَجَرَةً مُثْمِرَةً. And do not cut the blossoming trees. These were advices which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before him, he gave these similar advices. These were advices which were given 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave these advices to the army of Osama bin Zayd. He said, do not kill women, children and old people. And these are our ethics and these are our principles of military engagement. We do not kill women and children. We do not kill old people. We do not kill innocent people. These are our principles which were outlined how long ago? 1400 years ago. And those very people who regard us as barbaric, what do? They carpet bomb. They use depleted uranium. Through the immoral and unethical sanctions, you kill 1.5 million children in Iraq. 1.5 million children in Iraq. And these are our principles. We do not kill women and children. Our principles are not to kill women, children and old people. These are our principles. And these are principles were outlined how long ago? 1400 years ago. And then the Prophet, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, do not uproot date trees and do not burn them. What was he speaking about here? He was speaking about destroying the infrastructure of a society. That you do not destroy the infrastructure of any society. You fight with those who you have to fight and finish. And you compare that to those who regard the Muslims as uncivilized, barbaric. These are our principles. That in the 1991 Gulf War, 27 electrical plants were bombed. 27 electrical plants were bombed. Sewage plants were bombed. As a consequence, due to cholera and typhoid, over 100,000 Iraqis died because of cholera and typhoid. Over 100,000 Iraqis. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying what? He's saying, do not even uproot the trees. Do not even burn the trees. And the first thing that you aim for is what? The electrical plants. The sewage plants. These are our principles. And understand that if these principles, if our concept of Islam, of battle is hijacked, is only hijacked by a group and a small minority. As for the majority, they believe in this. But the reality is that those who regard us as barbaric will do all the uncivilized things under the sun, and they will put a spin on it. They will say, no, it was Saddam Hussein. By your own very definition, you regard Saddam Hussein as a monster. Then what did you expect from him? Did you think he was going to turn into an angel overnight? How many years of unethical sanctions? Women who would see their children wither away in their hands. And really, the worst thing that can happen to the Muslims is that we stoop to the level of those that we detest. Because our teachers are the likes of Abu Bakr, the Messenger of Allah. These are our teachers, and this is why Umar Mukhtar, the famous Mujahid from Libya, when he was fighting the Italians who occupied Libya, and the Italians would rape the women and kill the children, and they said, why don't we do unto them how they do to us? And Umar ibn Mukhtar, rahmatullah alayhi, said, they are not our teachers. And the worst thing that can happen to us, really, is that we stoop to their level. For these are our principles, and they were outlined 1400 years ago by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And therefore we do not target innocent people. For the reality is that many of those who died in London, and who were behind it, Allah knows. But many of those who died in London were people who marched against the Iraq war, whilst many who are sitting here were at home sitting on their laurels. Tim Herndel, who took a bullet in his head, there were Israelis were shooting, and he was picking up the children whilst they were shooting, and he was picking up Muslim children in Palestine, and he was taking them to safety until one bullet hit him on the head. The American woman who stood in front of the Israeli bulldozers who were going to knock down Muslim homes, and they bulldozed her. These people are innocent people. What Allah has for them in the hereafter, that is what Allah has for them. But we have firm and solid principles, and we must stick to those principles. Because now you are going to get two groups of people. One are those, you know, which the media loves. Those who are extreme, you know, who give it the big gun, and that's about all they do. And then they're going to push forward the ultra-modernists, the apologists, who are totally spineless. Lackeys of the government. And the reason for this is nobody else's fault besides mine and yours. Because we believe that Deen and Islam is limited to Sparkbrook, Sparkhill, Smallheath, Aston and Perry Bar. And excuse me if I missed the Alam Rock, the heart of the Muslim community. But this is a reality. These are our principles. And we, see, as I mentioned last time, many people say, believe that it's not macho. You know, if you say this, it's not macho. Bro, they do it to us, we gonna do it to them. They kill our women and children, we gonna do the same to you. Listen, all I understand by Allah is that the macho by Allah is the haqq. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bilqist. Shuhada'a lillahi walau ala anfusikum. Oh, you who believe, stand firm, stand straight for the truth, even if it means giving testimony upon your very own selves. That is the Islamic principle, and that is the Islamic teachings. That we cannot stoop to the level of other people. Of course it hurts us. Of course it hurts us when we see our Muslim brothers and sisters being killed. But let's do something positive, because it took us a very long time to reach this decadence, and it's going to take us a very long time to climb out of this decadence that we find ourselves in today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love and hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannat al-Firdaus. Hopefully, no guarantees, but inshallah, next week I will try to finish the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu.